96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. 2 days ago, Black Lives Matter activists held yet another demonstration at New York and New Jersey avenues here in the district. They were expressing frustration at the Terrence Sterling case. The 31-year-old man from Fort Washington was shot and killed by a D.C. police officer on September 11th. Now, police say he charged a police cruiser with a motorcycle he was riding. Now, while this case is moving through the justice system, we are exploring tonight what happens when a citizen here in the district has a complaint about a police officer. What do they do? How is that situation handled? Well, my guests are Rochelle Howard, Deputy Director of the Office of Police Complaints here in D.C., and Stephen Douglas, an activist and spokesperson for the family of Terrence Sterling. Lines are open if you have a question or comment at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR. Or follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR or H Fisher WHUR. Thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Let me first find out where we are with the Terrence Sterling case as you understand it, Stephen. Give me a short synopsis of where we are right now.
Where we are right now in this very second is we're still on pause. Mm-hmm. We've rounded up a grand jury investigation, but we haven't moved forward towards any justice. And so when I say that we're still on pause, we still have no legitimate answers to a lot of questions that we still have about this particular murder that took place in the nation's capital.
Why is this considered a Black Lives Matter issue? Or do you personally, or the family, does the family consider this to be a Black Lives Matter situation, particularly since the officer in question was also black?
Well, let me be correct. The shooting officer is a Caucasian officer, Brian Traynor. That's the officer, which is Caucasian, who shot and killed Terrence Sterling. His partner, who is still yet to be identified, is assumed to be an African-American man. But again, we have no identification. And that being one of the main questions that we still have as a movement, we still want to know the identification of his partner so we can start narrowing down just about the exacts of what happened. This is a Black Lives Matter issue, but it's a issue to the concerned citizens and friends of Terrence Sterling. This is something that myself put together at his funeral. And what BLM did was they came out, they supported me, and they've partnered with me a couple of times. But this is, without no shadow of a doubt, a concerned citizen and friends movement for Terrence Sterling. So if it's a Black Lives Matter issue, yes, it is. But this is becoming beyond a Black Lives Matter issue. This is a unequal to the African-American population that this continues to happen. So this is, you know, I tread very lightly on the Black Lives Matter platform because I don't want to make it seem like I want to be very one-way-ish or one-lane-ish because everything matters. Everything under the heavens matter that God has breathed life into from my standpoint. And so this is a Black Lives Matter issue. But it's a bigger issue that we have men and women and children that are on a continuously base losing their lives at the hands of our police who are supposed to protect and serve.
Ms. Howard, as you obviously, you know, the Terrence Sterling case, certainly a severe example of a conflict between a citizen and a police officer. And still this continues to play out. And this is probably one of the highest levels of that kind of situation. But on a daily basis, and this comes, you know, just a week after your office has issued a report of some 945 complaints against officers of using untoward language, colorful metaphors, foul language against citizens over the past 5 years. Some could argue that's a lot. So what happens after that, and why was this report issued?
So the language and conduct policy recommendation is part of our statutory authority. We are required to put out policy recommendations when we see trends or we see information from our complaints that offer the opportunity for us to recommend better practices. We are responsible as an independent civilian oversight entity to investigate any complaints against the Metropolitan Police Department and the D.C. Housing Authority Police Department. And so when we see trends in those investigations that we're getting and the complaints that we're getting from community members, we wrote this, the trend in language and conduct, we wrote this policy recommendation to tell MPD and to offer recommendations to the Metropolitan Police Department on how they can better the trend that we were seeing.
So what was the recommendation? Or what are the recommendations if there's more than one?
There were three recommendations that we put out in the policy recommendation that we think would start the practice of alleviating or hopefully rectifying the language and conduct concern that we have in MPD practices. The first one was for we recommended that MPD take steps to emphasize and reinforce the value and importance of proper language and conduct into MPD culture for all incoming officers. We asked them to ensure that this includes tactical communication, verbal de-escalation tactics, and training for new incoming officers so they have an idea within the MPD culture that language and conduct is not should be something that's respectful towards the to the community members within the district. The second one that we recommended is that MPD should also assess whether new training should be given to officers throughout the year. And we also recommended that MPD should update and expand General Order 201.26, which is the general order outlining that all members of the department should be courteous and orderly in their dealings with the public. We've asked them to review that, make sure it's up to date, make sure it sets the tone for culture of respectful interactions with community members.
Tell me a little bit more about the Police Complaints Board. How does it work? And if I have an issue with a police officer, whether it's foul language or something more severe, what happens if I need to come to your office to file a complaint?
You don't actually have to come to the office. You can file a complaint online. You can mail it in. You can fax it in. You can also come to the office and, you know, we'll receive the complaint and start the process from there.
Mm-hmm.
Once we receive the complaint, it gets assigned to an investigator. As I mentioned, we're an independent civilian oversight body that you mentioned as well, is managed by the Police Complaints Board. The Police Complaints Board is four members of the community. They're volunteers that manage our work and operations. That's our chain of command for the independent authority that we have.
How long does it take for a complaint to move through the system where someone could expect that there would be some resolution to the problem?
We hold ourselves to high standards for that. We don't want community members who have had issues with the Metropolitan Police Department or the D.C. Housing Authority Police Department to be waiting forever. And so we hold ourselves to a standard of 180 days from the time we received the
complaint. 6 months.
6 months.
Okay.
From the time we received the complaint until a final decision is made or until it's completely processed through the system.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about complaining about the police. How is it done? Who do you talk to here in the District of Columbia? Let me go to the phone lines. William, calling from Capitol Heights. William, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Prior to my call, I didn't know that this was focused on the District of Columbia. But I had an incident in Prince George's County where both me and my daughter were threatened by an officer with to be tased. The officer we were witnessing, a female being arrested, and we're standing approximately a mile away as this arrest was taking place. We didn't say anything to the officer. We were just observing. I wasn't even recording. The officer came over to me and asked if I would like to be tased. I was stunned. I didn't even respond. I was shocked. I was caught off guard. And he then repeated himself and, "Do you want to be tased?" And I said, "No, sir. I'm just sitting here observing." He said, "Well, move the F on." So at which point I then moved on. But the next day I went down to the Prince George's County Police Headquarters and filed a complaint. I filled out a complaint form. I kept a copy, gave a copy to the police officer, the desk sergeant who was there, and have never heard back from them. Do you know if there's a similar type of review process in the
Well, let me see if Ms. Howard can at least, obviously not her jurisdiction, but she does have something to share. You did or did not?
I do not.
You do not. Well, then let me, okay, because you waved your hand. It was like an auction here, so no, that's quite all right. Well, I will tell you what I have found. If you go online, you can find that there is a Citizen Complaint Oversight Panel office, and it is at all county police stations. And obviously, I am not an expert in Prince George's County police policy, but there is a way that you can file a complaint, and you can, interestingly enough, you can file it in the same manner that you can file it in the district, whether you can fill out a form or go to a station, and you can do it in that manner. But something that you can certainly think about, William, as you know, prepare to address this issue. But certainly thank you so much for reaching out to us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Howard, I wanted to continue with you because you said you've got 180 days. You have 6 months. I guess my question is, when you have volunteers and you have, you know, civilians involved in this, and as you probably heard, even just yesterday, the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors, by a vote of 9-1, mm-hmm. approved a new civilian police review board. Obviously, this is a growing trend. But in your case, how much does your office have any teeth? Because you've given us recommendations here that are sent to, you know, the higher ups in MPD, but there you said that they're just recommendations. Do you have any strength in your office beyond that for enforcement, or is that really in the hands of the police department?
The recommendations also go to the mayor, where the recommendations that we put out go to MPD for MPD practices or DC Housing Authority Police Department practices. But those recommendations also go to the mayor and council. We work with the council. You know, we have to report to the council for budget and things of that matter. And the council gets the recommendations. Usually the council will follow up with MPD or follow up with us and ask us how things are going throughout the working relationship that we have with the rest of the counterparts of the district.
I would imagine that there comes a time where your authority, at least even for recommendation, stops. How severe does a complaint need to be before it is elevated beyond your office?
We don't have control of that. We have independent authority, statutory authority to investigate the complaints that are brought to us. And then when we see trends, as with this one, we make recommendations to better the practices of the entities that we have jurisdiction over. The mayor and the council often, you know, the mayor chose to release the video after the Sterling case. So they mm-hmm. make their own independent decisions on when they should involve themselves into Metropolitan Police Department operations or the D.C. Housing Authority Police Department operations.
About that, I want to ask Stephen about that video, because there's also been some discussion about how much has been released as well. We're going to continue to talk about this issue on the other side. So please, if you're on the phone, stay with us. Waverly calling from D.C., Omar calling from Silver Spring, Daryl calling from D.C. Please stay on the line. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll talk more about this issue in just a few seconds. Stay with us.